Good morning. This chapter, chapter 5, God is Omnipotent, is a wonderful chapter. Absolutely wonderful. There's many blessings in here for those who have ears to hear. And speaking of hearing, if you hear a steady rumbling in the background, that's the air conditioner. I'm upstairs and it's summer, and if I don't use that, I'll be at 105 degrees before the talk is finished. So sorry about the noise, but this is where my recording equipment is, so we're stuck with it. I remember I have this in my hands, a hardback copy of The Altitude of Prayer by Joel Goldsmith, and it was published in 1975, and I remember when it came out. I like to go through a Vroman's bookstore in Pasadena, California. I used to go through Vroman's and check out the metaphysical section, and I remember when this book came out. And of course, I got a copy as soon as I could, and that was a long time ago, 1975. In two more years, that'll be 50 years, right? So, what does he have to say? What does this consciousness have to say about God is omnipotent? You know, it's really amazing to me that Joel did what he did. Traveling all over the world. He said he traveled 65,000 miles a year to get this message out to the world, the entire world. And if you put it in one sentence, it would have to be, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God?" And he went all over talking and talking and talking so that we could slowly, gradually, not be shocked out of our skins, but be gently led to a place where we are ready to surrender, lay down our lives. He who loses his life will find it. And so he begins with, if we ever hope to reach the height of prayer, a further preparatory step must be taken, without which there is no way to receive God, or to remove the barrier that has heretofore separated us from the kingdom of God. I've never used that word in a talk. You know, when I'm standing in front of a group, that might be a fun word to use. Heretofore. Heretofore. Okay. That step is to know that God is the only power, and that there is no more power in mind or thought than there is in matter, and we must know why. Understand that mind and thought, with their good and evil, are not of God. Because they are not of God, they are not power. Only God, Spirit, is power, and besides Spirit, there is no other power. All of us have probably given treatments and watched colds, flu, and dozens of other things dissolve just by knowing that there are no material powers. Now, he says, go further and release people from cancer, tuberculosis, and polio by knowing that the Son of God is not held in any mental bondage, and that there is no superstition, fear, or ignorance to hold him in slavery. This universe is governed by law. Spirit is the only lawgiver, and the only law with real power is spiritual law. Thank you, Father, that you are spirit, and that spirit is the only power. All fear departs from us in this truth. God has no pleasure in our dying. He has not provided any disease to take us away, nor has he provided any accidents to kill us. He has provided nothing to call us home to his bosom. Such a belief is a kind of mental slavery that would try to make us believe that God is the author of life and of death, the author of spiritual law and also of a destructive material or mental law. There is no material or mental law in the presence of God, for God alone is law, and the kingdom of God, God's law, is within. Okay, did you catch that? There is no material or mental law in the presence of God. It means that material and mental law will keep on operating until someone walks into it and says, "Wait a minute, I feel the presence of God. Father, thy will be done." And then listens and listens until he feels receptive and hears the still small voice say whatever it says that day. And when it utters its voice, the earth of error melts. And so there is material or mental law until you bring the presence of God into that situation, and then it melts, because it's nothingness, it's concepts, universal concepts. Thank you, Father. I can pray in peace, because I am not praying to have you do anything. I am praying the prayer of gratitude and recognition of your presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. So here we have it. Your soul receives the Spirit, and the Christ child is born. Your soul receives the still small voice, or the feeling of the presence, or the feeling of spirit, or the feeling of divine consciousness, and the two become one. Your soul, your receptivity, and the spirit become one. And then the Christ child is born, the expression of that spirit. And the Christ child is protected. That expression of spirit is protected, supplied, quickened, and companioned by the Father, by God. See, the Christ child is God expressing, or God manifesting, to as many as received him. When you hear that still small voice, when you feel that inner movement, you have received him. And then you rest in that word, and it manifests. It appears out here in some form of harmony. It is the expression of God, the expression of divine harmony. And that is the Christ child. And that is protected, supplied, companioned by God and quickened. Light does not remove darkness. Its presence proves that there is no darkness. The darkness does not go anywhere. The light reveals the absence of disease or sin or age or lack or limitation. Do you not see that if thought can be loving and hateful, if it can be pure and sinful, it cannot be of God, nor can it be empowered by God? So what do we have here? Let's see what we have. We have the presence of God, which is omnipresence. So we have omnipresence. We're standing in the middle of omnipresence. And we are that omnipresence. But we don't see it because we're not using our spiritual discernment. We're not living through spiritual discernment. We're living through the mind. And the mind sees a series of universal concepts. Here is a man, so tall, weighing so much, so many years old, and whatever we've been taught. He has allergies, he has arthritis, he has whatever he has. Let's say a cleft palate or a club foot or some of those other problems. All right, so that's the concept, and we're living in the concept all the time, standing in reality. And so we don't need God to change the concept or to get rid of the concept. We simply need to awaken, to become consciously aware of omnipresence. And then the concepts fade away with no effort. So the effort should be in realizing omnipresence. And we do that in our meditation and in our prayer. When you know this, that God cannot be in the mind, in the thoughts, when you know this, the only thought that can have power in your experience is the thought that is imparted to you from the Spirit within. Think of that. So when you're thinking of power and the power of this disease that's bothering me, you remember this. Put it on a 3x5. The only thought that can have power in my experience is the thought that is imparted to me from the Spirit within. Because it is neither good nor evil. It is spiritual. It is neither good nor evil. It is harmonious. It is neither good nor evil. It is eternal, immortal, and infinite. In prayer and meditation, we do not think thoughts of evil or thoughts of good. We do not think. We receive thoughts from God. And when we hear the still small voice, the earth of error is shattered. It melts. Thought is not power. Thought will not turn disease into health. But the Spirit of God in us reveals divine harmony, where sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation appear to the human senses. Okay, so abide in me, and let me abide in you. Abide in my word of truth, and let my word of truth abide in you. And I will make your way healthy, harmonious, peaceful, and joyous. All right, so this is describing the penetration of spirit into your soul. And then you rest in your conscious awareness of it, and Christ is born. Harmony becomes your experience. So our real work is to have the conscious awareness of the Spirit of God within, and then rest in it, and harmony will appear where the problem was appearing. So you see, you're not asking God anything. You're not saying a bunch of affirmations and denials. You're simply becoming quiet inside. You might even say, Father, reveal thyself. And then rest. And as soon as you feel that inner movement, as soon as you hear the still small voice, as soon as you receive the Spirit, the conscious awareness of Spirit, then, where the appearance has been of error, it melts. And right there in front of your eyes is harmony, or the Christ child appearing. It's really quite wonderful. And I wrote here in the margin, not by mouth, nor by mind, but by my consciousness, Spirit. When you can close your eyes and know no fear, and not seek for God to do something, see what happens as you settle down into an inner peace. Thank you, Father. I can abide in peace, for there is no other power. Okay, so here's what came to me while I was reading this chapter. At the end of the chapter, I wrote it down. Because of omnipresence, omnipotence is. Yes, if there's only one presence, and there is, and you're consciously aware of that one presence, then you're also consciously aware of one power. You should be consciously aware of one life. You should be consciously aware of the one Comforter. You should be consciously aware of the omnipresence of supply. Because of omnipresence, everything else is true. And all you have to do is consciously realize omnipresence. When you feel the conscious awareness of the presence of the living God, there's nothing you can say but thank you and rest back. And then you have been penetrated by the Spirit. Your soul and Spirit together births the Christ in your experience. And you say, oh, I had a wonderful day. Everything fell into place. That's the Christ child appearing. Here he calls it healthy, harmonious, peaceful, and joyous. This is a wonderful way of life we're walking. And the funny thing is, you can't tell anybody about it except each other. prayer has sometimes been a frustrating experience because we have turned to God as if God were some great power over evil powers, and as if we were going to ask God to take out his whip and get after the particular devil that is bothering us. The devil may be sin, false appetite, disease, sometimes another person, and we try to get God to do something about it for us. What a waste of time. This has been for the thousands of years it has been practiced. And I wrote here in the margin, why? Why has this been practiced for thousands of years with so little results? He says, to find the secret of answered prayer, we begin, as did Jesus, with an absolute conviction that God is. And because we have this conviction, we know that God must be omnipotence because of omnipresence, the all-power. If God is the all-power, there is nothing to fear from the powers of sin, disease, lack, or the power of bullets. Once we begin to perceive the nature of God, to catch the slightest glimpse of God as omnipotence, and refuse to ask God to destroy any enemy for us, we begin to experience answers to our prayers. This particular contemplation bothered me for years and years and years. I kept asking, what is spiritual power, in my meditation? And I wouldn't get an answer. But it's all becoming clear to me, finally. The presence of God is the presence of spiritual power. It's a power. It's the power that opens your rosebud into a rose. If you do time-lapse photography, you can see it opening. And that's the power of spirit. It's the power under the ground that makes the seed that you put in there, tiny, tiny seed, sprout, come up higher, and grow into a tree, in which the birds have nests. Spiritual power is oh so silent and oh so, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh so subtle. Spiritual power is not like the loudest thunderclap you've ever heard, or lightning. No, it's more like the silence you feel just before the first snowflake falls. But what it does is it just silently moves in and dissolves the concepts and reveals the harmony of itself. Resist not evil. Resist not because God is the all-power, and evil is not a power. When we rest in His Word, we discover what the enemy does to itself, and watch the invisible power come forth to be our salvation. And it's strange. I told you the story of being stranded in my car in the rain on the side of the road in Houston, I think it was. Could have been Dallas, but I think it was Houston. And the car wouldn't start. Now, how in the world could the Spirit of God dissolve that concept? What concept? The concept that the car had a power of its own. Transportation is a part of the Christ child. It's a part of God expression that you go here and go there. Now one day we can do like the masters of the Far East and lay down here and have a body appear in Las Vegas if we're needed there. But we're not there yet, so we're using these concepts called automobiles. And any concept that you have can be dissolved by spirit if you will invite it. And that's what I did. I got quiet, I got still. Father, thy grace is my sufficiency. And what is grace? Grace is that spirit flowing into soul and then birthing the Christ, which is harmony in your experience. That's grace. And then I felt the presence as I sat there. And the car, as you know, started and took me all the way to California where I was going. And the mechanic that looked at it told me there's no way it could travel from Houston to California because the central brain had been fried. I said, oh, really? What are you going to say? Well, I turned to God and, no, I just said, oh, really? You learn to speak a subtle language, don't you? All right, so he says, those of us who are in the spiritual healing ministry must rely on the principle of put up again thy sword. That is, do not look for a God power, just rest in the word. How many ways and how many times does he have to say that before we'll start doing that? Do not look for a God power, just rest in the Word. The Word, God, is the only power. Now here's a big one. I'm going to write it in my journal when I find it again. You listening? You ready? This you should take into your consciousness and contemplate. If it is not received as an impartation from within, it is not power, not real. Isn't that beautiful? And you can reverse that. If it is received as an impartation from within, it is power. I love that. If it is not received as an impartation from within, it is not power. It is not real. So everything else you can just wipe it away. It's not power. The only power, the only true real power, is the impartation you receive within. And that impartation is born as the Christ child out here and becomes your living experience. And so all you need is an impartation from within, and then you rest in that. Whatever it takes to get to that point of stillness, you need to practice. God is the substance of this universe. God is the only law of this universe. We do not prove it merely because we know the words. only in the practice of it do we develop the consciousness that makes this true. So there's going to be what he calls a year or two of hard work. Now those are his words. So that whenever an error appears, you are able to sit down and recognize. Well, he says, once we know the nature of God and prayer, we come to the place where, by being still, a power is generated in us which is not of ourselves. No, it's an impartation. The power is of God and is brought forth into active manifestation by our ability to be still. Be still and know that I am God, and then rest in that word. And that's the practice right there. We have to practice that with every error that touches our awareness, so that we come into the conscious awareness of the presence. And then, after a year or two of practice, Joel says, it takes over. Error touches you, you see it, and immediately this presence flows, and the earth melts. And so you're really a walking Christ, aren't you? But not before the practice. There would be no way to gain God's grace for you or for me, or to direct God's presence or power to this individual or that individual. This is a personalized concept of God that has wrecked the religions of the world. Yes, God is not personal. Only when God is understood to be a presence and power universally and equally available to all, only in that consciousness, in which we do not see each other as separate and apart from the divine being, only in that consciousness can spiritual power flow. If we were to sit quietly, recognizing the invisible presence and power of God permeating all being, then anyone who is receptive and in tune with divine love would receive blessings and benediction. And that's what I'm hoping to see happen in our Sunday morning meditation at 11 o'clock. Blessings and benediction. Grace in some form or other. It might be as comfort, as peace, as greater health, or as some form of greater abundance. But it would happen. Alright, so I know I'm harping on the same thing over and over. I'm doing what he did. And I hope that some of you are getting it. You have to hear it over and over and over. And then finally a piece here, a piece there, another piece, and you're able to say, all I have to do is become still and receive the conscious awareness of spirit. And then the Christ becomes my living experience. Yes, that's it. And then you might go to Joel like one man did and say, I'm going to write a book. Okay. A power that can be used either for good or evil is not God power. It is mental power. The power of God cannot be used. The power of God uses us. Spiritual power functions only when we make ourselves a complete receptivity to the Spirit of God. So, if it's good or evil power, it's mental, and not by mouth, nor by mental mind, but by my consciousness, my spirit. So this spiritual power is not good or evil. What is it? He told you it's silence. It's eternal. It's immortal. It's subtle. Humility recognizes that the only master there is on earth is a servant. So few are seeking to become servants. They are not only servants of God, but servants of those they come to serve on earth. Now, that is describing my wife Madeline. She said she hoped that for her epitaph it would be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I can sure echo that, because I saw her, I watched her for 33 years. We had 121 therapeutic foster children. And these are the children that come to us abused, maybe knocked around, maybe sexually abused. And they're very angry and afraid. And they come and they want to take it out on you. And I saw her look through that and see the Christ of each one of them. And I saw her serve them. What are their needs? And her life was dedicated to their needs. I couldn't do it like she did it. I just couldn't do it. But she did. And sometimes I did. But I mean, she was totally dedicated. 100% of the time was for the children's needs. And we took our last child, and within a month after the child left, she passed on. Her work was finished. But she was a servant, 100%. And I know she has a special place in the kingdom. All right, so enter into your sanctuary, which is within. Shut the door of your senses, and there, in receptivity, await the Annunciation, the birth of the Christ, the hearing of the still small voice. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in words or thoughts, not in the mouth nor in the mind. And a receptivity, God is in the silence that is heard only when there is an absence of words and thoughts, and a receptivity to the inner presence and power. That's a strange way, isn't it, to speak? God is in the silence that is heard only when there is an absence of words and thoughts, and also a receptivity to the inner presence and power. You must come to an inner conviction that you are never going to be able to demonstrate spiritual power except in the degree that you receive impartations from within. Once you are receiving inner impartations, the power of spirit operating through you is no longer limited just to you or to the persons around you. So there you have it. If you want spiritual power, it comes when you receive Him. You receive impartations within. You receive the Spirit. You receive the still small voice. Anyone from any circle or station in life, whether it be a carpenter, a housewife, or the head of state, can become a voice to the world and a power, because it is not the person who becomes that at all. It is the spirit that is imparting itself to the individual, and it is the same spirit that functioned in Krishna and Buddha, Moses and Elijah, Jesus, John and Paul, function in and as it appears on earth today. It is still that same spirit. Let's have a meditation, shall we? I turn within. As suggested, I shut off the senses and I listen. Speak, Father. I am receptive. Make me consciously aware of thy presence, thy omnipresence, which is omnipotence and omniscience. And here I rest, listening, using the inner ear only. God is. I am. God is I. I come forth I am the way. This is the beginning of a new era, a preparatory stage, or preparatory stage, which may be called the age of love, thy neighbor as thyself. This will be followed by the final revelation, which comes with an understanding of the nature of spiritual power. In this age, spiritual power has been revealed in such a way that it will never be lost. It will be spread until it embraces all human consciousness, or rather, until all human consciousness embraces it. Then we will be living in the stage which is to come after the period of love thy neighbor as thyself, when there will no longer be a neighbor or a personal self. There will be only the conscious, realized one self, the self which I am, that self which you are, besides which there is no other. So there will be living, then we will be living in the stage which is to come after the period of love thy neighbor as thyself, when there will no longer be a neighbor or a personal self, because you haven't got one. That's what he told me, trying to help me get to this next era, this next stage. Yeah, this next age, which is only the conscious realized or conscious awareness oneself. The self which I am, the self which you are, besides which there is no other. And so, you ask him about your concept, and he tells you you haven't got one. Stop living as a concept and expecting God to fix it or patch it up. Start living as what you are, the spirit that you receive impartations from in your prayer meditation. Then that impartation becomes the Christ child, the harmony of your experience. How is the nature of spiritual power to be revealed? The answer is in one word, prayer. Only those who have been mystically taught know the meaning of real prayer, through which spiritual power is revealed, and spiritual harmony is brought into the experience of man of earth, on earth, man on earth. I think you're getting a feel for this now, aren't you? This is the next stage. If we have been practicing loving our neighbor as ourselves, then we're ready to take this next step. And you look down at your personal self and recognize, uh-oh, I'm living in the mind. And this is a series of concepts. I haven't got one. So I better live in conscious awareness instead. Let me be still, even while my eyes are open. Father, reveal thyself. Sometimes while you're doing the dishes, you feel the presence. Thank you, Father. And that's enough right there. Harmony flows through you. And somebody reaching out to you receives that harmony. Only when self-interest is ruled out can spiritual power come in. The great barrier to God is the belief that there are material and mental powers. Once this belief has been overcome, you are free. You are a free individual inside yourself, ready to receive instruction in living and in loving. Then and then alone, you will learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. And now you are done with seeking God, seeking happiness, seeking prosperity. Do not seek anything. These are the added things. But you never will find this inner peace while you believe in the power of God and other powers besides God. In thy presence is fulfillment. Release me now from the belief in powers. For there are no powers on earth except the God power that creates, maintains, and sustains this universe. This preparation for prayer, then, is the step in which we surrender the belief in two powers and settle ourselves back in the comfort of the truth that there is no power to be used, that I alone am power, and we let the power of God use us. Okay, so at the end there I wrote, because of omnipresence, omnipotences, and you can even have a meditation on that. Because of omnipresence, omnipower is. Because of omnipresence, omni-knowledge is. Because of omnipresence, omni-supply. because of omnipresence, omni-life. Because of omnipresence, omni-comforter. Eternal, immortal, omni-forever. And so you see, Paul or whoever said it was correct. We live and move and have our being in God. But we're not aware of it. We're so busy living this concept. Yes, my name is Bill Skiles, and I'm all of 5'8½", and I'm 69 years old, and I live in North Carolina, all that stuff. Those are concepts strung together like a string of pearls. So we must have many meditations in which we recognize the truth that we were given by Christ through Joel. And so now I look down at this form. I am not that form. I think about this personal self. I haven't got one. Not really. What do I have? All that the Father has is mine. Because of omnipresence, I am omnipresence. And all the power, all the supply, all the love, all the comfort, comforting, all the life, all the love, all of that is mine. And how is it mine? It's mine as I become receptive to it. For as many as receive Him, they become instruments through which Christ is born and harmony appears. They are given power to become the sons of God, the expression of God, the manifestation of God. So it behooves you and me to receive Him. And Joel says, we do that by finding our center here within. And then if we need something, he says, take one of those I statements. I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. So what do I need to do? I need to rest in the I that has come. Speak. Thy servant heareth. And listen for the I that has come, that you might have life abundant. And I hear, I am the way. So no use me trying to make something happen with the mind. I'm to stand a little to the side and watch this I that is the way. I am the truth. So what am I to do? I am to recognize that if it's good or it's evil, it's not of God. It's of the mind. And so I am to stand a little to the side and watch the truth appear within me. Feel the truth appear within me, this I. And I am the life. So what am I to do? I am to stand a little to the side and listen and feel and discern the invisible I as it flows into me. And now there seems to be two, but there is only one. I. Live yourself, and it flows through and harmony appears, and I don't know how, but I do know I, and I am the way, and so I rest in this word, I. So we must practice this. Every error that touches you, you must go within and practice this. Remember the barriers, and don't have any. Wanting God to destroy something is one barrier. Coming within here to listen and bringing in resentment and anger with you is another barrier. Coming within here to rest and feeling nothing but fear, that's a barrier. Wanting God for personal reasons, trying to funnel God into a particular lane, that's a barrier. When you've released all those barriers, you come within in silence, because silence is not an absence of sound. You can come within in silence and be standing right next to a jackhammer in the road, digging up the asphalt. Silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self. Many of these things I've said right along are making sense now, aren't they? So when all these barriers are gone, you come within with an absence of self, and your temple is clean, and you can invite God. I will come in and sup with Him. Father, reveal Thyself. Come in, sup with me. I listen. I await. I watch. I bear witness. God is I. Thank you, everyone, for your bringing this talk out. You know, if I was talking to myself, it would be about 5 minutes, and that would be all. Because I have learned that silence is the way. You can't receive an impartation if you're already full. We covered that in that Zen story. You can only receive an impartation if you've reached the silence, if you've brought an absence of self. Then you can sit in your temple. And it really is the temple of the living God. Know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God? And when God penetrates you, when God's Spirit penetrates into your soul, the two of you make Christ child. And it appears as harmony, joy, fulfillment, peace, love, life, health, happiness. I marvel at some people who say that they're going beyond the infinite way now. They found something better or something deeper. Everything I ever wanted is right here. Why would I go anywhere else? You just have to go deep enough with the infinite way. And it really is an infinite way. Thank you. I love you. And many blessings to you. Put this into practice. And bear witness. Watch it work. See that it really does work. Yes, and the final barrier he had, now that I think of it, is the belief in more than one power. But if you accept omnipresence, then you know omnipotence and omniscience is that presence. Okay, thank you. See you next time.